The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about a well-known concept called angels. And I say concept because not everybody believes in angels. I do. My very special guest today, return guest, Lorna Byrne, is actually an expert on angels. She's devoted her life to remind humanity of the spiritual potential within us. She's the author of 7 best-selling books about angels, including Angels in My Hair, A Message of Hope from the Angels, Angels at My Fingertips. The books have been published in more than 50 countries, 30 languages. Lorna is a spiritual visionary, international best-selling author, and she's also a philanthropist and a wonderful person. Her teachings are the result of her remarkable gift, which is a divine connection, providing her with incredible, detailed knowledge of the spiritual side of life. And unlike other spiritual teachers she has shared the platform with, this gift that Lorna has is not from meditation, visualization, psychedelic experiences, or even books or study. Lorna is actually not that educated, as she will admit and says often, and she has dyslexic. She's dyslexic. So it's a real incredible triumph that she's made in her life with her physical sight of the unseen world of angels, spirits, and other spiritual beings that she says are guiding and teaching us every second of the way. So I think it's going to be a terrific conversation. Lorna's been on a show twice before, and each time I said to myself afterwards, I have so many more questions to ask because, you know, angels is something, there's something that everybody can relate to and everybody's thought about, and I don't know how deep your belief is or not, but you're certainly aware of angels, and you might be curious to learn more about the angels from somebody who sees them as actual physical beings, sees them all day long since she was in the crib. Absolutely amazing story, and Lorna is a wonderful person. She has a place called Sanctuary in Ireland that we're going to talk about, that where people come and learn and do some spiritual work with her and with great success coming out of that. So I'm very excited about the show. I'm very excited about sharing more information about a topic that I think everybody's curious about, and particularly today in this chaotic world we live in. We're looking for something good. We're looking for some hope. We're looking for something that can help guide us to do the right thing, and we can lean on and know that there is more to this beyond what we see in front of us. And I think if you hear us out here today on Guys Guys Radio, I think you'll learn a lot about angels. I know I'm going to learn a lot more. And then you can decide, hey, I want to work with my angel, or I don't believe. That's up to you. Whatever you want to do is cool. But the information is going to be put out there for you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you take it to heart. And then I hope you do with it as you see fit. But Guys, Guys Radio, that's what we do here. The show isn't for any specific men, women, whatever. It's for everybody. And I bring you the information, and the guests, I think, can bring something to the table, new information for you to consider and determine, does this fit in with the way I want to live my life? For me, I know I have a guardian angel. I know I've communicated with angels. I know angels have helped me out. You could say some things are coincidence, other things they're not. I mean, the other day I actually left my son's baseball practice. I drove 20 minutes home. It's dark out. We had a nighttime practice and I didn't have my phone. And I'm like, wow. So we decided, let's drive back. We'll bring a flashlight to where the field is. And I was asking my guardian angel, like, help me find my phone, please. I really need it. My phone is with my driver's license, my credit card. I need, and the phone's not even paid off yet. I need that phone. And sure enough, 20 minutes later, we got to the field and one of the team mother, if you will, shows up. She's out there looking around the field also. I said, what are you doing out here? She said, "Oh, I went to pick up my son's hoodie left behind." I said, "What?" She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for my phone." She goes, "What's the number?" So she dialed my number, and after about 2 minutes of walking around a little bit, we found my phone. It was in the street. It must have fallen out of my pocket when I was getting into my car, but it was right where the cars would drive. No car had driven over it. There was no chips or scrapes or anything with it. I picked it up. I said, "Thank you." And I told my friend who made the call, I said, "You know what? You're an angel." And sometimes that's how it works. So Guys Guys Radio, our very special guest, Lorna Byrne. Let's get into that discussion.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's the interview portion of our show and welcoming our YouTube and Rumble viewers. And my special guest is somebody who's been on our show a number of times and his beloved and does great work, because we're going to talk about angels today. And my special guest is Lorna Byrne, the Irish mystic, international number one best-selling author. Her last two books have gone straight to number one on the UK Sunday Times chart. More than a million readers around the world. Some of her books, Angels in My Hair, I think I have that right here. Stairways to Heaven, A Message of Hope from the Angels, and Love from Heaven, all been translated into over 30 languages. Lorna has seen angels since she was a child. And very unusually, she actually sees the angels physically with as much clarity as we see each other. And she sees them every day. And initially, she did not talk about this until she was around 7 years old. She started seeing them, and she had no idea why that she can see angels and many others cannot. And it just adds to the fact that she's an extraordinary person on a wonderful mission. So I'm thrilled to honor and have Lorna Byrne back on Guys Guys Radio. Hello, Lorna. Thank you for coming back to the show.
Hi, Robert. I'm delighted to be on your show and to be chatting with you again.
Great. So today, what I want to do is to help our listeners and viewers out there is really get into some of the logistics, if you will, about angels, because I think a lot of people want to communicate with their angels. Sometimes they're not sure who to call, what to call them, how to call them, and for what specific issues they need to call specific angels, or, you know, the universal consciousness or God. So let's start out by just a quick definition. What are angels and what are they not?
I love the questions. Angels are creatures that were created by God long, long ago, before anything else was created. And the one thing I love is that whenever it was that God fell in love with us human beings, whether we were a little blob or just the beginning, I don't know, but he fell in love with us. And the one incredible thing is that he gave us a soul, that spark of light of God himself. But the other thing is, he gave us a guardian angel. You know, you don't even have to call your guardian angel by a name. You can just say, "Come on, I need a helping hand today. I need courage and strength." And your guardian angel will have another angel in and around you if you need another angel, or sometimes even the soul of a loved one. But the one thing about your guardian angel is that it's the gatekeeper of your soul, but it can never leave you for 1 second. It's always with you, so you're never, never alone. Other angels come and go all of the time. They don't stay with you constantly. They're just called in for a moment or to help you maybe in some particular task you want. And I know you were saying there about naming them. I would just say, you know, don't get a whole load of hang-ups in that way, that you have to know a particular angel's name or who you call on. You call first on God, if you like, you know, your guardian angel, because God and your guardian angel are in contact even before you even ask or the thought crosses your mind. And your guardian angel will have in, if it's needed, any angel that is specified in what you're asking. Like, I love the unemployed angels. Mm-hmm. You know, I see them every day. You know, if I'm outside or even when I'm working in the sanctuary, anywhere I am, I see the unemployed angels. And they're always, in a sense, they're this beautiful light. And they're, how would I say, always hanging around, hoping that you'll say, I could do it a helping hand. And I do say to people, it's an easy name if you wanted a name. It's just that when I was a child, that's what I call them, the unemployed angels, because they were always and still are looking, you know, to give us a helping hand in what I call the trivial things every day.
Oh, in Lorna, that. Are there a specific amount of angels, or are there new angels being created all the time? You mentioned these unemployed angels. It sounds like there's more angels than they don't have enough to do.
Yeah, I love that question. Even today, I still see those angels. I'd say it's like as if they're being emptied out of buckets and they come tumbling down to earth. And it's still happening today. So they are endless. And that's why I would say to you, you know, you can ask for as many unemployed angels to give you a helping hand today. But the other thing that people are doing around the world, they're asking for unemployed angels to go to different parts of the world to help people, to give them the courage and strength they need. And I always say, you know, you can send an unemployed angel. The person doesn't even have to believe in angels, doesn't even have to believe in God. You know, love and kindness and compassion in your heart, you know, sends the unemployed angels to help someone else. And again, it doesn't matter, you know, what religion they are, or even sometimes if someone might say, oh, well, that's a real bad person, I'm not going to ask for an unemployed angel to help them. But an unemployed angel, or any angel, or just like your guardian angel, you know, won't tell you to do something wrong. It's the angels that give us the guilty feeling. You know, when we know we shouldn't have said something, or we'd love to, you know, strike back, but we're getting that guilty feeling not to. That's your guardian angel. And that can be an unemployed angel. It can be any angel as well, trying to help you not to be mean or selfish or not to hurt anyone. But I think today the world has become very, what would you say, we have pushed that guilty feeling down, you know, and we're very good at that. But yet I love the angels. They don't give up on us. And, you know, your guardian angel loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do. It never gives up on you. And it still loves you. Like, to me, that is an incredible thing. You know, God loves you, again, no matter what you do. And I do love the teacher angels, you know. And I usually see teacher angels around students, which is sometimes would make me smile and laugh, and I'd have to walk by with my head down, you know, because I might see an unemployed angel, you know, putting, and I know the human being can't see it, but putting a book in front of them. But I know that unemployed, that teacher angel is helping them to visualize the book that they're meant to go into, that they're meant to study, or that page. But sometimes I've just seen, you know, the teacher angels, you know, always with, one way I recognize them so much is they always have a pen and paper or a board, you know, a paper on it, or they're carrying a book of some kind. And just watching them encouraging people is always really interesting. You know, sometimes somebody will drop a pen, you know, when they shouldn't have had, or a pen will roll off, or a piece of paper, you know, if they're outside, a piece of paper will blow away and they have to get up and go after it. And it could be on that piece of paper is something that they're meant to look at, you know, and get a little bit more knowledge on. So the angels help us to do everything. And you don't need to say, what name, you know, what angel should I call on? Just ask your guardian angel to have an angel there to give you a helping hand, no matter what you're doing. Even if you're a plumber, or you're an electrician, or you're a teacher, or you're a mom or a dad, you know, they're not so hung up on names as we are. And I love that.
Of course.
You know, we're hung up on names and what should we call.
Right.
And maybe that's why I'm so bad with names, you know, in that sense. You know, so again, you know, I would say to anybody, you know, give yourself a chance. You know, say to yourself, what if I have a guardian angel? And what if I have a soul? And what if that part of me is spiritual and I have never recognized it before? You know, the thought has been put into your mind. I would say give yourself a chance and always put those what if, because everything is possible. Nothing is impossible in that way.
I love it. I love it. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, return guest, Lorna Byrne, best-selling author and kind of angel, I don't want to say expert or whisperer or whatever, but just somebody who's really connected to angels in a way that some of us aren't. We don't see them in the same way. Where do the angels exist? We talk about, a lot of times nowadays, Lorna, people say, oh, we're in the third dimension. We're kind of now moving to the fourth dimension. The world's going to reshift into the fifth dimension. Where do the angels exist?
I love the question. And I would say to you, they exist. How can I explain this? I know lots of people say the first, second, third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, but I don't see the angels in that way. It's like, again, what I would have said before, they were created first. You know, and creation is still happening, you know, every day of our lives. Even ourselves, evolution is happening with us in that way. I couldn't say in that way. It's like God created them and they didn't need to, how would I say, develop, you know, or have evolution for themselves. It's like they're ahead of that. You know, there's so much I would love to tell you because I'm working with a scientist at the moment and I know the book is going to be out, please God, again, the end of the year or the beginning of next year. And part of it is so interesting, you know, and it gives you a bit more understanding about what's happening in the universe and what's happening within ourselves, because we ourselves are part of the universe, you know, and the angels are part of it, but it's like they're part of it, but on the outside. No one has asked me that question before, but there are, you know, say this hand is the universe and they're here.
Okay.
And they can come and go.
So they're not limited to a specific dimension.
No.
Okay.
No, they're not.
Multi-dimensional.
That way, okay. in what people say. But yes, your guardian angel can't leave you for 1 second. You know, that's the one angel that is with you constantly and has come, you know, had met your soul when your soul was created by the Creator. We can say that instead of saying God or Jesus or Allah, you know, it depends on where you're coming from. But the soul was created and the soul, the sea of souls, as I called it, you know, that's where your soul met your guardian angel. And let's say, how can I say it the way I was shown it, is, you know, a guardian angel was walking through a sea of souls, millions of souls, and those millions of souls were moving. And yet, as let's say it was your guardian angel was finding you, it was all the souls would part to allow that guardian angel through to get to your soul. And then at another stage, you would have shared everything. And then at another stage, I see your cat. Looks lovely. And at another stage, you would have stood before God in the sense of that symbol, before God with your guardian angel, and you would have known everything of your parents, of who you chose to be born that family. And you would have known the good and the bad, everything about it. And then at the moment of conception, your guardian angel and your soul traveled at that very moment and joined together at that very moment. You know, so from that moment on, when your guardian angel met your soul in the sea of souls, it could not leave your side for one moment. So I always say to people, because one of the first questions I was asked was, Lorna, do you mean even in the bathroom? And I would say, yes. Your guard, but you have to remember, angels don't look on us in the way we look on ourselves. They only see beauty and kindness and love, even though we hide that a lot of the time. Because we believe, in one sense, we're meant to be hard, but we don't have to be hard. We have the choice. And of course, the choice is the free will. And your guardian angel helps to guide you. So you can ask your guardian angel for help in any way. It doesn't matter, even if you have difficulty, say, lifting up a glass of water, you can ask your guardian angel to help you to lift up that glass of water.
And, you know, and will they intervene, Lorna? Do they intervene in our lives if we ask them for help?
Yes, they intervene in the way that they give you the choice. And in the sense, the other way they intervene is to have you to have the strength to lift it, to keep on encouraging you to lift it for you to get stronger and stronger all of the time. So I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. And sometimes, you know, we might ask for a sign. And I know I had said to you before, many times we ask for a sign, but we might be asking, you know, for a mansion, or we might be asking for a boat, or we might be asking, you know, to win the lotto or something like that. I would say they're too big, because they can't go and say your ticket is to win, because millions of people are wanting the same thing. And again, when you buy a ticket for something, that's to help someone that you don't know. That's to do good. At least I always hope that's what it is to do good. But when you ask for a sign, it's like it could be anything. You could be asking for, you know, a glass of water. It's like the young man who told me the story, or the elderly man who told me the story about, you know, the young boy going around door to door because he was hungry, and he asking for a glass of milk, you know, just a glass of milk. And a lot of the doors he knocked on, nobody would answer. And some doors did open, but they closed them again on his face. But then he knocked on a particular door, and the door opened, and it wasn't closed on his face. And the woman heard him say a glass of milk and walked back into our house and brought out a glass of milk. And that was her listening to her guardian angel, listening to God to be kind. And again, that was his guardian angel giving him the courage not to give up, to keep knocking, because his guardian angel already knew that the chance of this woman that gave him the glass of milk would give it, that she wouldn't close the door on his face, or that she wouldn't answer. There was a big chance, because her guardian angel, just like all the other houses he knocked on, God was already asking them to be kind. But the lovely part of that story, another lovely part, was she gave him the glass of milk and he drank it and said thank you and handed back the glass. And the most lovely part is, because this is a completely true story in every fact, years later, like I don't know how many years, this child had grown up to be a young man. And somehow miracles happened in his life that he got educated. And he became a doctor, not just an ordinary doctor. He became a surgeon. You know, just think about that, you know. And then one day in the hospital, he operated on a woman. And he recognized that woman. And she had said to him, you know, oh, the bill is going to be so big for this surgery and everything. And then another day he walked in and handed the bill and he walked out. And on the end of the bill was a glass of milk.
I love it.
She saved his life. You know, we have so many lives to save for very good, positive reasons. You know, he became a surgeon. You know, and in the future, he as a surgeon, not just a little boy, was to save her life.
That's fantastic.
And to give her that message of kindness and love.
Okay.
A glass of milk. Mm-hmm. He wrote at the end of the bill. That was the charge. That's all she had to pay. And she did pay. You know, a glass of milk.
Fantastic.
Just a beautiful story. And I know those stories happen all the time in our lives. And I'd say for any man or woman, no matter what age you are, just start to think and see, is there any time in your life that something quite incredible happened, or you were saying, why was that person so kind to me? Why did I get that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did that person sit down beside me in a restaurant and start to talk to me about something? Everything, in a sense, is connected. And maybe not just for yourself, but for others.
Okay.
It's like the old man who told me that story, because he knew the surgeon. The surgeon told him. He passed that story on to me, and it has gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's to show kindness and love in our world and that connection spiritually to God and the angels. And that we all have, you know, that choice, and that we are all, you know, spiritual beings as well. We're not just flesh and blood, you know, and just like the kindness was shown to the boy who asked for a glass of milk. And then it was given back to her
mm-hmm.
when she needed it, when it was really needed in that way.
Okay. Now you've seen angels since you were a child. Was there a time where your mission, if you will, kind of cemented itself with you, where you realize, like, I'm not just seeing them randomly, that this is part of what my mission is?
I love that question as well, because for me, it's not a mission.
Okay.
I don't seem to think like everyone else in that sense. I would never say it was a mission, even today, or, you know, the way people would say your destiny or dream. To me, it's all God's plan. And when I eventually said yes, it started to unfold more. Like, as a child lying in the cot and reaching up to touch the angels to try and play with them, which I could never do at that time. But it was when, and I think I told you before, it was when I was about maybe 2.5. I was walking and I wasn't talking. So that's why I was considered by my parents and the doctor as retarded, because I wasn't talking, but I was dyslexic. But I was playing in front of the fire with my brother. And he had said to me, you know, he was older than me, a few years older. And he had said to me, that I couldn't sit near the fire, but the fire wouldn't burn him. And we played with these little wooden blocks my dad had made for us. And it was like as if his hand went into mine or mine went into his. And it just, how would I say, sparks were everywhere like stars. And I felt so much love. And I even giggled. It was something I never experienced before. Like, how could this be happening? And I was only about 2.5. And it was at that moment that the angels told me I must keep it a secret that they were angels.
Okay. Now,
and they did tell me my brother had died before I was born. And he was a soul. I don't think I put that into angels in my hair, that part. Which is another reason why I would have said in the book that at times my brother would be an infant in my mom's arms. you know, because that's the way I was seeing it at two and a half years of age.
Amazing. So the, for people out there wondering, do angels ever incarnate, take a human form, if you will, even for a short period of time where they show up to help somebody and they're, even though they're not human, they take on a human persona or form?
Yes, definitely. And you would hear loads of stories across the world where, you know, rescue workers would be helping people. And sometimes when they get first on the scene, the person will say to them, but where is the man that was with me or the woman that was with me, you know, comforting me, fixing me up, having me feel okay? And the rescue workers would say, we're first on the scene. There was nobody here. That was an angel. But I do love where at times people would see an angel, but they would give such a human appearance to help them with something that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that is incredible. But I just say to everybody, try and remember, just in case an angel is helping you and for some reason has to give a human form, they're perfect. There would be no crease in their clothing or, you know, they're actually mm-hmm. perfect. And that's where the one story, it has happened a few times with myself, with Archangel Michael and sometimes another angel, where I was in Maynooth College, you know, walking on the grounds, walking up the center where the trees are, with Archangel Michael. And he would always, I love this part because he would always dress in the way everybody else in that area is dressing. So he dressed like a priest, you know, at that time, a long black coat. And, you know, the two of us were walking up and we were talking, and two priests then came down on the far side, you know, talking to each other. But when they reached where Archangel Michael was and myself, it was like as if I was the one that was invisible.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seem to see me, but they turned and said to Archangel Michael, good morning, Father.
It's fantastic.
You know, like, you know, and on occasion, sometimes somebody will say, I saw you with somebody in such and such a place. And I would know they saw an angel.
Let me ask you this, Lorna. So I've heard that the archangels, or clarify it for me, can be like an Archangel Michael, can be walking with you, but helping somebody across the globe at the same time.
Yes. And that part I don't understand myself. I think that is incredible. Archangel Michael, you could feel that Archangel Michael is helping you all day, but he's out there in the world helping another million people as well. And to me, that is incredible. So nobody owns an archangel, you know, because sometimes mm-hmm. somebody would say to me, you know, Archangel Michael is their guardian angel, but Archangel Michael is not their guardian angel. It's just that maybe they call on him so many times and they're starting to feel that powerful presence as well. And I think that is lovely as well.
Is there a, can you call in? And I also want to get into how people can best communicate with angels, where you don't really pray to angels, but you can ask for their help. So for instance, with Archangel Michael, I've read that you can ask him for a blue kind of bubble of protection around you all the time. And I've done that, but I've also heard with spirit, you can ask for a white light, white bubble of protection around you. And sometimes I do, if it's really cold out, I'm with my son or something, we're outside playing ball, bubble of warmth around us, or bubble of protection when we're in the car in the busy traffic. How does the third part of that, and forgive me, but I want to make sure I get there, is how do we differentiate kind of working and communicating with spirit versus working and communicating with our angels? Because I think some people fall into they start praying to their angels, and it's not really what they should be doing, correct?
Yeah, you don't pray to the angels. You ask them to help you in whatever way it is. But if you're praying to God, you know, your guardian angel and other angels are praying with you to enhance your prayer as well. Like, so I never pray to the angels. I just ask them, just like Archangel Michael, you know, give the world a helping hand. And I know, in a sense, that's a prayer as well.
Sure.
You know, and God is already granting that prayer to help the world in that way. So when we ask for protection, even when we ask our guardian angel or Archangel Michael or any angel to put a light around us, that is spirit, that is God putting that light around you. You know, the angels are just there, in a sense, helping or what would you say, enhancing that bubble. Mm-hmm. And you can ask whatever color you like. The color doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
In that way. It's just like, you know, sometimes I hear stories from people, you know, and they would say they saw an angel just as they were having an accident. And they believe that angel stopped the accident from becoming explosive, you know, or stopped mm-hmm. the accident from huge injury in that way. Or sometimes I have met on the odd occasion, somebody has said to me, you know, I saw an angel, but I dare not tell anyone because I'm afraid they lock me up, you know. It might be an old man or an old woman, you know, in their 90s, and they're sharing this story with me. And they're telling me their car was, you know, going over the cliff. They weren't driving. They were in the back seat or the passenger seat. And they saw this angel and the car didn't go over. And they usually describe the angel as a white light, but giving a human appearance within it. And sometimes they would say, they could see, you know, the light from the hands pushing the car in that way. And that's exactly the way it happens, you know. And sometimes people will say, you know, they saw the wings of the angel. Mm-hmm. And I think if you see the wings of an angel, you're very privileged, because the angels don't show their wings, you know, every second of the day. To me, it's quite rare. Mm-hmm.
For people, let's talk about spirit for a moment, if we can. People pray to spirit, and a lot of times they ask for forgiveness. And my understanding, I just interviewed for like the fifth time Neil Donald Walsh, and he wrote The Conversations with God. And in his books, he says the spirit is not looking for being asked for forgiveness. You're already forgiven. So you don't
exactly.
It's really, you want to forgive each other. Maybe, but not, you don't ask spirit for forgiveness, because God is not saying right. There's no right or wrong in God's eyes. God is kind of witnessing and experiencing itself through us.
Yes, God loves us unconditionally. So even when you do wrong, and it's the same with your guardian angel, they still love you. They don't condemn you or run you down. They never give up on you. So God's spirit doesn't give up on you. You're God's child, you know, that spark of light of your soul. And, you know, one thing I would say to everyone, your soul is that spark of light of God. It's so tiny, but yet so enormous, but it is spirit. It's God, you know, and if people understand it in those words better, then that is better for the person. But You can't put a sin on God. Mm-hmm. So it's the human self that does the wrong things. And God just loves us. And to me, that is incredible, no matter what you do. Like, and that's why I just say, you know, we should pray for everyone or ask for help for everyone in whatever way it's needed. We shouldn't judge in any way or be annoyed about the differences or the different beliefs of others. Mm-hmm. We should just love them anyway, because the spirit, God loves you. And that's what your soul is as well. It's just another word. We use so many words. So, no, we have to forgive each other. But the other part is we have to forgive ourselves as well. For every time we hurt someone or we do something wrong in some way. And that could be that you do something that damages nature. You've got to forgive yourself for that and do your best to repair it if you can. And it's the same when you forgive yourself over something that you've been the cause of or part of the cause of for someone else's life. And what you do is try and make it right if you can, but you may not be able to, but you need to forgive yourself so you can love others more. And so that, in a sense, forgiving yourself becomes less.
Yes.
Because you do more good with your words and your kindness and your gentleness than you would have before.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the guardian angel being with us from the moment we're created to death, if you will. Does that mean that through multiple incarnations, do we have the same, if there are there multiple incarnations, and do we have the same guardian angel, excuse me, throughout time?
I would say to you, you have the same guardian angel throughout time. And I know everyone is so, you know, wanting to believe that they can come back again, you know, reincarnation. And it does happen, but not to the extent people think, because then everyone I meet, I would see that they were reincarnated. And I don't. It's very, very rare. But a question I would ask someone then, like, why would you want to come back? And lots of people would say, well, I want to come back because I didn't grow up in a great family, or, you know, I done terrible things and I want to correct them. But again, that goes back to the spirit, to God. Mm-hmm. You know, God loves you anyway.
Mm-hmm. How you about, know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He loves you anyway. And there is no need for that. And again, I would say, why do you want to come back when our human body is not perfect as yet? You know, it will get sick. You know, it will die. And I think when people think about it maybe a bit more clearly, they don't really need to come back. Nobody needs to, because I know myself, because my human body has died on different occasions. And I have gone home to heaven, but I've been sent back again into the same body. Like you're saying, this body shouldn't be here as such. But you don't want to come back, no matter how much you love those that you have left behind. But you can do more for them in the spirit world in heaven than you can here on earth. Mm. And you know, I think we're really, maybe some of us, I remember a psychiatrist saying to me, you know, Lorna, so many of my patients would be doing really, really, really well, but they believe that they were reincarnated, and they believe that maybe they were Joan of Arc, or they were the king or queen of another country. And he said, I let them believe that because now they're living life, they're able to cope with it, believing that they were reincarnated and in their other life they were this famous or great person in that way. And I would say he was really a kind psychiatrist, and probably helped an awful lot of his patients by not criticizing them or saying or enforcing on them that, you know, sorry, you weren't reincarnated, you weren't the Queen of Arc or whatever in that way. So it doesn't happen as much as people believe.
That's good to know. Okay.
I definitely don't want to come back. That's what I keep telling God, but he keeps sending me back in that way.
So where do most folks go who pass over? Can they go off to another dimension, to another planet, to another universe? Or are they at home with spirit, and that's where home is?
I would say to you, to explain it maybe a little bit more, and you use the word spirit instead of God, and I would say, yes, that's where we go. We go there. But it's like, as well, if your loved one, just say, let's say...
It's my mother just passed.
Yeah, your mom just passed. She can be with you as well. And yet she's with spirit, she's with God, at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's lovely because, yeah. you know, so many people would tell me, you know, they could feel the presence of their mom or dad or even their child, mm-hmm. you know, or something would happen in the room that would remind them of their child or, you know, and the soul of a loved one as well, your guardian angel calls them in when you're not listening.
Okay.
When you're not listening enough. So your mom might be in and around you when you're not listening enough. You know, or you have...
That'd be nothing new about that. let me ask you one last question, Lorna, because we're running out of time. Okay. It's been so wonderful. Sanctuary, you've created kind of a treat, a place where people can go and practice their spirituality and meet with you and others. Tell us about that. It's in Ireland. Where is it? How does it work? And where are you in the process?
It's in here. It's here in Ireland, and it's called the Sanctuary. And again, it's a real long story about how all that had happened. But what I'm doing there myself is, you know, people come for workshops and then extreme cases come as well. So many other things. And we have a forest and a river garden. And I love the way when people come from another country and they say, you know, their tummy gave them so much problems, but here it doesn't because they're getting natural food from the ground. We cook what we sow. In that way.
Love it.
And it's just doing fantastic. And the word Kilfane means sacred place.
Great. Okay.
And we just now call it the Sanctuary.
And to find out more about it, your website is lornabyrne.com?
It's lornabyrne.com. You can get all the information there you want. And there's so much more happening as well. I see you have angels and my hair and a message of hope from the angels. Yes.
So it's Lorna Byrne, LORNABYRNE.com. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. I mean, I have like 50 more questions I wanted to ask you, but we'll just have to save that for the next time and for your new book. I can't wait till it comes out. And thank you for gracing us when you come to the show because I learned so much. The audience, I'm sure, is learning so much, and you're doing wonderful work. And just thank you, Lorna Byrne, for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and thank you to all of your guests as well. And I ask for all the blessings and good things that they need within their lives. So thank you.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Wow, what an interesting conversation with Lorna Byrne. I learned so much today. I hope you did about angels. And if you do believe, there should be so much great information that you gleaned from our conversation, because what I wanted to do is ask the really practical layman's questions about angels. Like, how does the everyday person work with their angels? And I think Lorna did a wonderful job, as always, articulating that very clearly. And that kind of the way to get through is work with your guardian angel, and the guardian angel will help kind of pull in the right angels to help you out with whatever your situation you have. But the guardian angel has kind of found you before you were born, come in when you were born, and works with you and guides you and kind of from a one step removed, if you will, but loves you unconditionally right through your entire life. So if you do believe, you might want to start thinking about how can I create a good connection with my guardian angel. The other thing that I learned that was interesting is when we were talking about reincarnation, Lorna said, you know, not everybody comes back. Not everybody is supposed to come back. And it's interesting because a lot of people said that I've read recently, and this is a little bit in the, you know, metaphysical area, but that before 2002, people were coming back all the time, because it was kind of a net that was pulling souls back down to earth and saying, I've got to go back, and kind of a recycling. And our energy has been gleaned by certain beings to be used for themselves. And so we keep coming back to earth and dealing with all the challenges we have to deal with, where it's probably not everybody needs to come back all the time over and over again. But apparently, as some say, after 2012, things have started to change, and that we can go home, if you will, when we pass, and we don't have to necessarily come back here unless it's for a very specific reason. And we can help people once we're, you know, we leave our bodies. And we can be home, if you will, with God. We could also be helping our loved ones and family members kind of concurrently. I know it's a lot to digest, and you have your own opinions on that, and that's cool. What I do and what we do, once again, here on Guys Guys Radio, I bring you the information, you determine if it works for you. And if you want to learn more, check out my guests. You can always go to Lorna Burns' website and learn more about her specific, her experience and her philosophy and messages from divine messages, and also just more all about angels and how to work with them. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening on KCAA Radio in Southern California at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM, the podcast, YouTube, Rumble, post throughout the day Thursday, and we're on UK Health Radio all weekend long and on demand. So a couple of notes there. UK Health Radio is a digital radio station, though it's internet radio, and it's the largest talk health radio station in the world. It's growing and growing and growing. I'm on four times every weekend, plus on demand on KCAA. We're on Wednesday evenings. We also have a replay of the show every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific time. The YouTube and Rumble, you can watch them. It usually starts late Thursday or Friday, or first thing Friday, and you can watch the interviews. If you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week to the show, I ask you one favor: support us by subscribing, rating, reviewing, wherever you consume the show. YouTube subscriptions are most helpful. We really appreciate that. And also tell your friends if you enjoy the show. What I try to do, my show is not a niche show. It's not about one thing. I bring information and thought leaders from everywhere to provide information for you, and you can determine what you want to do with that. But I've gotten an education with the over 700 guests I've had conversations with over the years. And also, I'm hoping that you, if you've been along for the ride, have learned a lot and used some of the tips and some of the teachings and some of the learnings that we've shared with you. You can also catch more about me on my website, Robert Manni, MANNI.com. I've got over 300 blog posts about life, love, the pursuit of happiness. They're all for free. You can also download three free chapters to my novel, The Guy's Guy's Guide to Love. It's a sexy romp through the fast-paced world of advertising in New York City. It's about two guys competing for love, sex, power, and money in the market where they play for keeps. It's got savvy women. It's got flawed men. It's fast. It's frothy. It's fun. It's been called the men's successor to Sex in the City. Check it out. Three free chapters, and then you can pick up the book wherever you buy books. Amazon's probably the easiest place to get it, but whatever. That's all I got for you this week, folks. So we're going to be back next week. I love doing a show. I say thank you to my wonderful producer, Chris, to my strategy lead, Ryan, to all my guests. And most of all, I thank you, my lovely audience. I appreciate you being with me. More to come for you. I'll see you, and you can hear me or see me next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.